Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth, keeping an eye on the Capitol, where finally we have a new Speaker of the U.S. House of Representatives. Scott, good to have you here.
Well, it's great to be back, Loman. Thank you.
Tell us a bit, our new House Speaker, Mike Johnson.
Yeah, Mike Johnson was elected the 56th Speaker of the House of Representatives this week, and it's a big deal because obviously Congress has been going without a speaker since October 7th. I think that a lot of the work that the House would have been doing in the interim period is mostly messaging bills and all these big negotiations that happen on appropriations and other parts of the Republican agenda are sort of dead on arrival in the Senate, and they ultimately result in a bipartisan negotiation. But it is important to have the leadership in place. And now that Kevin McCarthy was vacated, we went through rounds of trying for Steve Scalise, then trying for Jim Jordan, and trying for Tom Emmer. And this week, there was just this big relief, I think, from a lot of members that they were able to settle on somebody that ultimately was acceptable to everyone. He received no opposition from the Republican conference, and only one member missed the vote because I believe he was in Israel this week. So Mike Johnson from the 4th District of Louisiana is now Speaker of the House and in the line of succession for President of the United States.
Tell us a little bit about Mike Johnson. Even though he has been really a low-profile member, at least from the public perspective, he has quite a history inside the House and has been really a player, although, as I said, most people in the general public, this is a new name for them.
With Mike Johnson, he's somebody that came into the U.S. House of Representatives in 2017 and had only served one term in the Louisiana House. So fairly new to politics, really, over the last 10 years. So he's not one of those career politicians. He had significant experience as a constitutional law attorney and small business owner. And I think what people like about Mike Johnson is sort of his humble beginnings, coming from being the first one in his family to go to college. His father was a firefighter that suffered from a devastating injury while in the line of duty as a fireman. And really, Johnson has sort of been this, I think, fairly active member of the House Judiciary Committee, working alongside people like Chairman Jim Jordan to try to put together strong packages that, number one, protect the rights of the American people and enforce the rule of law, and then reform areas that are necessary within policy, like the big immigration bill that the House passed earlier this year. Mike Johnson is a family guy, too. I think he's got 4 kids, and he's a rock-solid social conservative. There's going to be a lot of people, I think, that kind of try to adjudicate the votes and positions that he's taken in the past now that he's in charge of the House. Nonetheless, I think he is going to be a speaker that opens things up to the rank and file of the membership and tries to include more voices in the path forward on a lot of these really important decisions that our country needs.
So where do we go to from here now, Scott? We have a new Speaker of the House. They can finally get down to business. We are just weeks away from yet another budget deadline. Is the House now going to be able to actually get to work and try to resolve some of the fiscal issues that are in front of it?
The first thing you should expect is for the House to try to pass these individual appropriation bills. Mr. Johnson noticed a schedule that will complete all those appropriation bills that remain in the House, sending them over to the Senate. And then he sort of laid out his vision for the other legislation that the House is going to work on, including the farm bill. And then in the meantime, I think you're also going to see real negotiations begin with the administration and Senate Democrats on the path forward for the November 17th deadline when the CR expires and how that looks for the year-end package on appropriations.
There are also a number of foreign affairs issues that are facing the House. There's been some division within the Republican conference over further aid to Ukraine. There's also likely going to be additional aid put forward for Israel. Do you see this as something that's going to be high on the new speaker's agenda as well?
I do. I think that he wants to address the situation in Israel, the supplemental appropriations package that would be separate from Ukraine money. And I think that those are also two very different foreign policy objectives in this moment in history, and I think it's appropriate to divide the two questions. There's also money that the administration has requested basically to process more asylum claims at the border they call it border security supplemental spending, but it's really not about border security with the Biden administration. I think that everybody knows we've had 8 million people come illegally across the border since Biden was sworn in as president. So seeing how the supplemental appropriations comes through the House is going to come to fruition for the United States Senate. You could also see the Senate trying to jam the House, but I think that Speaker Johnson and the House Republicans would divide the question and ultimately result in a package that first addresses Israel and then a subsequent package that may receive a big debate on what to do in Ukraine.
Politically speaking here, Scott, this extended battle over who's going to be the House Speaker, has this done damage to Republican chances to retain control of the House, or ultimately is this more of an insider game?
I think that the American people consume so much information that by the time next November rolls around, there's going to be plenty of other things that are front and center in America, whether it's your kitchen table issues, whether it's just the enormous focus that's going to fall on the presidential race. Or it could be any of these, you know, sort of wild cards that come up, the October surprise. And so I don't think that the dysfunction that we've seen over the last couple of weeks is actually going to hurt the House Republicans and their ability to win elections in November 2024. I do think that there's some donor questions about the direction of the House. And that's something that Speaker Johnson is going to have to figure out, because he's not known as a prolific fundraiser, but I think the position itself gives anyone the ability to, number one, access the largest Republican donors that are going to help fund that stronger majority, and number two, set a tone for a new vision. And that new vision under Johnson hopefully will be one that really takes on the Biden economy and confronts this out-of-control situation that we've really been facing since March of 2020.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. And Scott, tell us a little bit about the club.
Club for Growth is a membership organization based in Washington, D.C. Our members are united in economic freedom, liberty, and opportunity. Check us out at clubforgrowth.org.
Scott Parkinson at the Club for Growth. Scott, thank you again for being here.
Thank you.